Piano Jazz is made possible by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Esperanza Spalding. Her name means hope, and her talent is amazing. Picture to yourself a singing bass player with a beautiful sound and a wonderful rhythmic feeling. In a word, that's Esperanza. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Excellent, excellent. It's good to be here
with you. I'm so glad you could come. And it's amazing that you started to play an instrument when you were four. Why did you pick the violin? Was it just lying on the floor or something?
Yeah, it was in the trash. And I actually saw a program on television, and it was a cello player who I saw. But in my mind, as a four-year-old, I thought that it was a violin. So I asked my mother if she could get a violin for me. And she found a program in my hometown that offered free instruments to students. And that's how I came, that's really how I began music in that way. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you taught yourself to play?
Yeah. I would go every Monday to a chamber orchestra for young people, but they didn't offer lessons. So I would get some instruction there. And then the rest I would just try to figure out, much, I'm sure, to the chagrin of my mother, poor her, because I remember being about six or seven in the living room, you know, practicing. And it sounds terrible when you start, you know, but she was very patient. And later in my years as a violinist, I got some private instruction. But at the beginning, it was just scratch, try to figure it out. Yeah.
Boy, your mother did an awful lot to help you along, but you certainly were determined to play, weren't you?
Yes, definitely.
That's what you wanted to do.
Definitely so. I didn't know what instrument I wanted to play. You know, I went through so many instruments, but the music was there. You know, I had like a great hunger to play. I didn't know what I wanted to play, and whatever instrument would be in front of me, I'd try to play. But I guess I knew pretty young that I needed to do some kind of music for myself. You know, I had a hunger for it always.
That's interesting. You say, I had a great hunger to play.
Mm.
And you're doing it.
Are
you still hungry?
Yeah, hungrier than ever. It's like the never-ending, I don't know, the bottomless pit, I guess. I'm never satiated, you know.
Well, we've talked about it a lot now. You are going to play something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I brought with me Leonardo Genovese, my pianist, who will accompany me while I sing and play Jazz Ain't Nothing But Soul. This is written by Betty Carter.
So, to get on with your career, I mean, obviously you got bigger and older and you took some lessons and went to play in an orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Of course I started when I was young at like a very entry-level group. It was just a small chamber orchestra that was specifically targeted for very young children who had just started playing. And I was with that organization who facilitated the group for 11 years.
My goodness, you must have learned a lot during that time.
Yes, definitely. It was incredible. I mean, by the time I left them, I was 15, and we were playing, you know, pretty advanced orchestral work. So it was definitely a good evolution.
And then you decided to go to Berkeley. You figured that was the place to go?
Yes. I honestly didn't know very much about it until I got there. But a teacher of mine in Portland suggested that I go. And when I got out there, it was incredible. It happened right at a time in my life that it kicked me up to the next level. It was incredible. I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm. Was it a good time at Berkeley?
Yeah, it was very good. I think I spent more time doing other things in Boston, you know, just as far as music goes, than being in class. But the opportunities that the school provided, you know, opportunities to meet people, that's where I met my piano player, Leo. It was just incredible. It was an incredible experience, yeah.
So how long did you stay at Berkeley?
3 years, yeah. 3 years. I had been at a university before, so I was a little bit prepared. But 3 years in the school. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years after that, just hanging around Boston like a bum, you know.
I couldn't imagine you being like a bum.
With my bass case, you know, on my back, you know.
Standing on the street corner.
Yeah, just on the corner.
With the bass.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Yeah, I'm sure. I see you as a mischievous bass player.
What gives you that impression? I'm so nice. No, but I am quite mischievous, actually.
But you're very serious about the bass.
Yeah, definitely. I am. I feel actually more connected with that instrument than with the singing. Though for me, the singing's a lot easier, of course, because there's no, you know, there's not as much technical facility involved, I guess, for me. But I definitely want to, I hope to, in 5-10 years, I'll be one of the top bassists around. It's really important to me. Mm-hmm.
And you'll still be a young, mischievous chick.
I don't think that's ever going to change, I think, fortunately or unfortunately. Yeah.
I want to hear another tune.
Okay. I think we'll do our version of Body and Soul. No.
Oh, that's going to be... It's amazing how these songs last.
Hmm.
That song has been around for so many years.
Hmm.
And I love it just as much. And I'm looking forward to hearing you guys do it.
Hmm. Well.
So, wail on.
Wail on we will do.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.